Start your day the Saraway in Northwest London, Friday, 9th of Tammuz, 8th of July. Rav Dudi Rosenberg of the Snake Syndrome. This week's Torah is sponsored by Nishmos. Rav Yosef and Rav Moshe, Harold Basha Bas Rav Yosef, Chana Blum Bas Rav Yosef, Elimelech beneficial, Tzvi beneficial, Hashem Yimkim Demehem, Shinagor Kiddush Hashem, Tes Vov Sivan Tov Shin Dalit.
Speaking on Friday has a plus and a minus. The plus is that I have 5 more days to procrastinate. The minus is that there are 5 earlier speakers that can say my drusha ahead of me by chance. So, Sunday we had chip machines, Monday we had achshayrem, Tuesday Kibbut Av and Soira. So far, so good, right? Yeah. Wednesday, Mila precautions. Thursday, gotcha.
What?
Alles gehabt. Der Bereife. A few ideas which I was going to speak about. So, back to the drawing board. And we start again. Zois chikas ha-teuro ha-shesiv ha-shem. Leimoy. So everyone asks the kasha, why is it chikas atoiro? It should be chukas apuro, because we're speaking about the pura dimmer. And why didn't it say chukas atomo? So essentially, all mitzvahs really should be performed, even and especially if we don't understand them, because the ultimate kima mitzvah goes along the lines that we were mekabel the Torah. We said nase v'nishma, do them. Even if we don't understand them, afterwards we'll listen. This personifies the Torah, Zois Chukas HaTorah Asher Tzivu Hashem Laimah. Shlomo HaMelech famously said in Koheles about this particular mitzvah, Umanti Yachakaimu Vehi Rechoyku Mimeni. Wisest of all men. And he was also baffled by the contradictions and the conflicts within Pura Dima. Tama Tehoira, Metaya Temayim. But then there's another question. Why, Taka, don't we use the Zois Chikas HaTorah and say, Shatnas lo yale olechu, Zois Chikas HaTorah. Lo esevash al gedi b'chalayv imoy, Zois Chikas HaTorah. It's also something a mitzvah letam. So let's go back to the very beginning of the Torah. Bereish Shburah Lekim starts with the story of Udom and Achavo. They had literally everything in the world. The Wenchlelem placed them in Gan Eden and gave them Mikol Eitzagon Uchol Toicha. When Shlomo told them,
they didn't have internet.
They didn't. They didn't have. Chanes, they didn't have. Yeah, that was the Eitz Hadas. And the Nuchash managed to entice Chavo and say to her, "Af," the famous beginning, "Kiyuma Elokim," and then he said, "Of course, the Rabbi Shlomo doesn't want you to eat from this particular fruit, because it'd be competition otherwise. You don't want to be another Yotzer Elumois, so therefore it makes sense that he said, this one don't touch." So everything else, they were entitled to eat. But the Maaseh, there was a tremendous desire to know. There was a tremendous curiosity factor. And then what will happen when Nifkechu Einoche? And then you'll be Yoidei Toivura. And the desire was there. Toivu Eitzle Machol, V'chisavu Hilo Einayim, V'nechmal Tu Eitzle Haskim, an increased knowledge. And she ate. What did she bring on the world at that point? Death. Misa. What's the consequence of death? A new thing called tumor. A And that tumah is something that rests on the aviavos, the dead body, which is the magnet for tumah. And there's only one thing that can remove that tumah. That's the puradam. So it appears to be that there is a tikkun here. One is masakin the other. The avaira was the curiosity and the seeking of knowledge and wanting to know everything and explain everything and have an explanation and a plausible reason why we do everything. And the Rabbi Shlomo said, no, you're not supposed to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. But they did. And now they brought a Pushit equation. The seeking of that extra knowledge was Misa. Misa equals tumor. Tumor can be removed by pura dimme, and pura dimme is the ultimate quintessential chok that you don't understand. So you have one which is a tikkun for the other. Push it. Okay, from there we said that the title was the snake syndrome. Now, if the provocateur that incited this quest for knowledge was the Nuchosh, was that snake. I'm going to try and parallel snake with snake. And the one which appears later on in this week's Sedra, which was also rectified by snakes, and where there was an attack of snakes by the heavenly mon. So although the actual vault is not connected, but we're going to remain in the reptile house for the time being. So just want to go to that parsha in this week's Sedra, and then it says like this: Vayisu mihoyu ha. Just find it. In pusik dalet parsha chuf aleph, and they went to Chiamsuf. Vatikza nefesh huam badurich. I'm just going briefly through this paragraph in order to get the story right. Rashi says that the reason for vatikza Nefesh U'om Badurech was because of the exhaustion of traveling. That they were Torah HaDerech, and they came out with a long litany of complaints. And they said to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to Moshe, if a Moshe, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim, to die in this wilderness? Ki ein lechem ve ein mayim. What happened? Immediate retribution. Those poisonous snakes, the burning reptiles, and they died as a result and a consequence of being bitten. And of course, there was immediate repentance. And then the Rebbein Shalom, just take it away. So the Eibishter said, "Asay lechu suraf, create this post or staff and place on top of it this snake." Then comes the tongue twister for all the Balakoyim. No, the Hoyim Nushach Hanushach. Okay. Now, let's analyze the Tanus. Why are they speaking about Mitzrayim at this point? If you know, if we speak about the historical point, this was a changeover. This was like almost like a renaissance. The entire Meisei Midbar came to a conclusion. This was the new generation that are going to enter the land. Many of them didn't even know what Mitzrayim was. Lumos Bamidbar, they told us to bring us in to die in the Midbar. Veret Vingstab, they just stopped dying. This was the conclusion of the death. They were about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then they continue. Ki ein lechem. We discussed it yesterday, Aval Dash. What do you mean ein lechem? There was an abundance of bread every morning. Millions of loaves descended from heaven. There was no shortage of bread. Ve ein mayim. Which is also not true, because we said, as we heard yesterday, that the water was restored, Miriam was nifter, and then the water was taken and came back again, but the master is, there was a bear, there was plenty of water. But v'nafshayni kutsu belechem hakloike. Sick and tired of this mon. All the time, mon. I ask you, can you imagine? 38 years without visiting woman and fruit. For anti-acid pills. No child suffered from diarrhea. They didn't come late to school because they were constipated. None of these complaints. Were they really complaining that they didn't spend a good portion of their lifetime in the bathroom? It was the ultimate food. The mon was the ultimate food, and they knew that. Every human being has got his bad days, and they're related to digestive ailments. This simply did not exist in the midbar per se. Question one. Then, why did the Eibishter apply the punishment of snakes? Why did he send rhinos or hyenas or lions, or was it snakes? So Rashi explains it at length. But then there's another question. How did the pole with the serpent on top serve as an antidote? And anyway, how does all this apply to us today? So let's make a hesbon. When a person is a grumbler, he views the world through dark tinted glasses. Everything he sees is negative. All is gloomy and defies logic entirely. You remember all of us putting a birthday cake on a table, and Yankee will complain that Sprintzy's piece is 2.3 millimeters wider than his, and Meila is simply not fair. And also Nechi got a cherry, 3/4 of a cherry on top of her piece, and I only got a half a cherry on top of mine. Mommy will argue that this morning Yankele got 2 smoked salmon bridge rolls for breakfast, but this is countered usually with, "It's not true!" Or, "It just doesn't feature in their judicial system altogether." Or, for example, a couple go on a cruise, ocean liner, beautiful weather, succulent cuisine. What does he complain about? No company here. Nobody to talk to. He probably means his wife. Entertainment is boring. It's not the type of shops on this boat that I like. The Baal Tefillin shul on Friday night was awful. Schrecklich. The shiurim are not on my level. The room in the boat is too bright because it faces the sun. Sachisu. And the balcony is too large anyway. So where does the fault lie? It's the cruise or the person? Is the cause of the complaint the cherry on the cake or the dissatisfaction of the child? Coming back to our story here in Parshas Chukas, Klal Yisrael's life was a blissful paradise. They didn't have to go to the green spot cleaners because their clothes were laundered by the wind. The ultimate bread which came down and had alle tamam shebo oilom, they had nothing to think of because every conceivable taste was there, and they had all the pleasures of oilom hazeh. Water in abundance. In Devurim, the Torah describes it as simply, Rabbi Shlom says, loy chusartu dova. You were lacking absolutely nothing, yet everything there. But they were grumblers. No reason, no grounds whatsoever. Just like a story of Udo Merishn. When he was corrupted by the snake, he also was in a world that had everything there. Everything was there, but he was in search of what he was missing. And the Yidden here in the Midbar were complaining also in search of what they might be missing. they grumbled and they moaned just about that. And that's what we might call now the snake syndrome. And Rashi says it. Yuvay Nuchosh, let this snake come. The Yipura, he'll pay me kifuye toivo for people who are ingrates. But how does a man sink to this lowly place? And the answer is a poshuto one. If he's completely consumed with egocentricity and self-centeredness, his first two commandments are Unoichi, everything turns around me, and on top of that, Lo yeh lecho, whatever I've got, you shouldn't have. But the opposite in contrast is in a place where there's comfort, tranquility, and a sense of inner peace, recognizing that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He runs the world, he's zones hakol, im farnais lakol, im maitiv lakol. When we've internalized that, then the world and life are fulfilling and they're meaningful. Back to our story. So what's the remedy? So the instruction was, asay lecho surof. Make a pole and put that snake on top of the pole. Why? But this question is what the Mishnah asks. Does the snake give or take life? So the Mishnah says, Eloloi Malach, to tell you one important message. She kozman, she Yisuel, she Yisuel, mistaklin klapi malo, that when they looked above, what does it mean? Past the post, past the snake, upwards, then they received and they got a different vision, different parameters. And that guarantees the satisfaction and the happiness below. Because they would be Meshabdim es Livom Laviem Shevashmayim when you're connected and bound in body and soul to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the remedy and the healing method for the snake syndrome. So what's the lesson to us in 2022? From all this, our own dissatisfactions. He's got a more luxurious car than I have. He's got a fancier home. It's detached and it's bigger. He goes on more exotic holidays than I do. Why have I not got that? Perhaps if we could be mistakel klape malo and we look beyond, then we would find maybe that sense of tranquility in knowing that what we've got is what exactly what the Eibishter feels that we need. And then we could recognize what the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke about in Devarim, and he described Eden as Loi chusartu duvos, hatoch kunish gefeilt. You're not really lacking anything. So we brought the snake and the snake. That was the first part. The second part, I've got to discuss the subject of May Merivu. The only thing is, there's 10 minutes and there's about 20 opinions. So we have to leave many of them out and try and pick out those which are really at the top. But before we discuss them, I'm going to go a little bit of a faster pace so that we get as many as we can in. The Ramban words, Ramban says, before we go any further to describe the entire saga, we should say, Vohu emes, in truth, the story of the chet, in inverted commas, of Moshe Rabbeinu, is Vohu emes ki ha'inyan soid gudol mesisrei ha'Torah. It's a subject which is one of the great mysteries of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is a vayre, kaviyuch. Let me list some of them. Let's go fast. Rashi explains, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's avaira? He hit the rock. What was he supposed to do? Speak to the rock. V'dibartem el hasela. Clearly so. First question.
What's a Aharon HaKohen got to do with it? Why is he punished?
The Ramban dismisses Rashi's explanation and he says it's very nice, but it's Divrei HaGudah. After all, end of the day, the Rebbein Shalom instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, he said to him, Kaches Hamate, take the stick with you, which is insinuating that it would be used, a stick usually for the purpose of hitting. Because the same mate was taken in Mitzrayim for the purpose of hitting. He raised it against the Yam and against the etc., etc. So,
he never hit anything.
Well, he raised it, and
he
one occasion he did by the kinim.
He never hit anything.
Kin. Touched the ground, yeah, you hit the ground. And there's another one as well. No, Dom, he didn't. He raised the stick, it says he's right. But there is a place, essentially, the staff is usually used for that sort of purpose. Question two, stones are anyway not usually in the habit of providing water per se. So why is talking to a rock somehow a greater nes than hitting a rock? These are the kashas of the Ramban on Rashi's pshat. Rashi's pshat was, you should have spoken and not hit. Next is the Ramban. The Ramban and Rabbi Nechananel are both bound in the same in another opinion. They say that the key words are, and this is very simple to understand, Hamin haseh lehaseh noitzi luchem mayim, as if insinuating that they, Moshe and Aharon, were performing this miracle and not Kavyuchel the Rabbi Mishloelem. Otherwise, the Lushan would have been Yoitzi Hashem luchem mayim. And that doesn't say that, which also answers, incidentally, the question about Aharon HaKohen, because if it's Noitzi Luchem, then Aharon HaKohen is bound up in this, we will bring forth water. He didn't bring forth anything, the Rabbi Mishloelem was. Third, the Rambam. Moshe's avayr was kas. He got angry because it says there, Shimunu hamoirem, listen now, you rebels or rebellious people. This wasn't part of the deal. Rashi voices this idea in Matas that even there he says about by Moshe Rabbeinu, even shebuli dal de kas, buli klei the klal tuas. In a person reaches a place of error in judgment if he is angry. Moshe Rabbeinu erred. Because, as opposed to speaking to the rock, he became enraged with the rock. And this also was, this reflects the Rebbein Shloilom's anger and pain, which just wasn't true, because the Rebbein Shloilom is in fact, is got no grievance, as it says, for people dying of thirst and complaining that they need water. It was the earlier things that were upsetting. But when they're dying of thirst and they say, we need water, Rebbein Shlom's got no tanas, but Moshe Rabbeinu reflected that the Rebbein Shlom Kaviyuchel was bekas as well, and that was the Avair according to the Ramban. The Ramban is not very happy with it, and he uses words like on the Ramban, Vehoisiv Hevel al Havule. Because if the admonishment was Yan loy he'emantem bi, that would really say Yan ki ka'astem. If the anger was the issue, then it would have said so in the Pusik. What's the loy he'emantem bi lahakdisheni got to do with getting angry? This is the kasha which the Ramban places on the Rambam's Mahalach. But anyway, if unprovoked kas, okay, let's go. Let's stop him because otherwise we're going to run over. There's an Eben Ezra, and the Eben Ezra is interpreted by Orach Chaim HaKodesh, who brings 10 listed answers for the tash of the Avaira, so to speak. But he says that, and this is very difficult to understand, he tells us that the Yandoi Haimantim be that they showed a lack of emina, Moshe and Aharon, by not going out and by hitting the rock twice. If you really believe that this rock is going to gush forth with water the first time, then you don't have to hit it a second time. Then there's a second touch. In the Eben Ezra, then there's Orach Chaim HaKodesh, which you mentioned. All right, so let's just finish with the Ababanel. Ababanel says that there was an old debt, and the old debt was that you had Moshe and Aharon. Moshe was really guilty, in the Ababanel's words, for his part in the Meraglim. He was the one that that gave the authorization, so to speak. He asked the Rebbein Shlulam, but he instigated, and in quite a way he was instrumental in sending those spies there, which consequently ended with them all, the whole entire generation, perishing in the Midbar. And the Rebbein Shlulam had a cheshbon with him. And now was the time to cash in. And this was the master with the Yan, Lo Yamantim Bi Lahak Tishayni. Aharon HaKohen had a cheshbon with the Rebbein Shlulam, with the Egel. He was instrumental in building it. The master is, he meant all the good reasons in the world, every good intention, but he was essentially instrumental in constructing it. The Rebbein Shlulam had a cheshbon with him. Now the Rebbein Shlulam cashed in. So the Rabbi Benel says that it would have been very difficult for Klal Yisrael to witness that those two go into Eretz Yisrael and we stay behind. Meile the Rebbein Shlulam so orchestrated it and coordinated it that they also remained behind for the Avaira of the Chet HaMayim Meriva. There are another 12 pshutim, but somehow in the next 3 minutes we're not going to cover them. So let's finish off just with the drush of Reb Moshe Feinstein. We mentioned the Ramban asks, what is really the big difference of speaking or hitting the rock from a miraculous perspective? Water gushing forth is a phenomenal miracle regardless. And it would appear that the punishment of not entering Eretz Yisrael for that is somewhat, as they call it, disproportionate. But, says Reb Moshe Feinstein, the word Moshe Rabbeini, the word Rabbeini is teacher. He is a mentor. He is someone that we learn from him, the Doris, and for all future generations. He's the quintessential teacher. The Machanach, the Ruv. And the Eibishter said that message for future generations, for Klal Yisrael, which he wanted Moshe to fulfill. Like Rabbi Kiva saw, the drops of water going onto the stone. Even if you feel that you are talking to a rock, Rabbi, or you're talking to a wall and you are not penetrating, just keep talking. And talk. And talk. Because eventually the words will penetrate. This was Moshe Feinstein's hesber of Moshe Rabbeinu, that this is the, so to speak, the legacy that the Rebbein Shlulam wanted him to leave. And if I may add to that, that perhaps in this generation there's one more caveat, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate mechanach, the ultimate teacher. When you are speaking to children, and you are that machanach, and you are that roof, carry on speaking. Speak and speak. But don't hit. Chops. Chops. Chops.